I'll call the next case Southern Highlands Community Association versus San Florentine Avenue Trust and J.P. Morgan Mortgage Acquisition Corporation, case number 66177. Council ready to proceed? You need a little bit more time, Mr. Hera?
Thank you, Your Honors. Council, good morning. May it please the Court, Sipil Tadura here on behalf of the appellant Southern Highlands Community Association. Subject to questions that the justices may have, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal. The crux of the issues before this case is whether a Masters Homeowners Association's lien survives a foreclosure sale conducted by a sub-homeowners association, and it is our position that it does survive. The subject property is located in the Southern Highlands Community Association, in that development, where the Southern Highlands Community Association is the Master Homeowners Association, or the Master HOA, whereas the Foothills at Southern Highlands is the Sub-Homeowners Association, or the Sub-HOA. And it was at the Sub-HOA's foreclosure sale at which the San Florentine Avenue Trust, the plaintiff, or the appellee in this case, purchased the subject property. Now, before the deed of trust was recorded, which informed the entire world that the trust was now the owner of the property, the Southern Highlands Community Association properly recorded its lien on the subject property. Now, we are here before this court because the lower court...
Let me clarify some language that's being used here. The lien is already granted under the CC&Rs.
That's correct.
What they recorded is an amount due under the lien.
That is correct.
Isn't that the case?
That is correct.
Does that make a difference in the analysis here?
It actually doesn't. The lien was pre-existing. So it does affect it to the extent that the trust is now making the new argument, which wasn't raised before the lower court, that it was a bona fide purchaser. The lien already existed. They should have been aware of it. They had constructive notice of it. So you're correct that
In this case is, I fail to see how the foreclosure sale can extinguish a lien that's recorded in the CC&Rs. It might affect the amount due under the lien, but I don't see how it extinguishes the lien. So perhaps you'd comment on that. You seem to agree that that's an issue here.
We do agree, and it's our position that the lien was, in fact, not extinguished.
So then the opposite side of that question is, why isn't the money owed under the lien extinguished?
Why is the money owed?
Why isn't the money owed to your association extinguished when the sale occurs by an equal priority lien claimant?
I apologize, Your Honor. I'm having some trouble hearing.
Well, it's not. I'm sure it's not your problem. The acoustics here are not the best. We apologize. Go right ahead.
It's our position that the money owed under that lien was not extinguished. It is equal priority. And that's the mistake that the lower court made, and it abused discretion. Now, in the first mistake that the lower court made was it applied the wrong standard. It actually put the burden of proof on the non-moving party by issuing an order to show cause to the Southern Highlands Community Association to show why the preliminary injunction should not be granted. So not only did it improperly shift the burden of proof, but it also then lowered the standard for the trust. It said in its order that the trust had a possibility of success on the merits. And the standard that this court has set forth, that first prong, requires a likelihood of success on the merits, which is greater than just a possibility of success. And substantively, as this court is aware, there's two prongs to a motion for preliminary injunction. And both of them have to be met by the trust. Both of those have to be met. And without one of them, the preliminary injunction fails. And I believe that the lower court and the trust skipped over that first prong, which is the likelihood of success on the merits. And in analyzing whether there's a likelihood of success on the merits, we look at what's in the amended complaint, what is alleged against the Southern Highlands Community Association. And it's a quiet title action that simply says that the sub-HOA's foreclosure sale extinguished the lien that was held by the property.
Counsel, let me ask this question. In full disclosure, I used to reside in Southern Highlands. I'm very familiar how the Master Association works with the sub-associations. With that in mind, what's the remedy for the sub-association? You have multiple sub-associations in Southern Highlands. If the homeowner is not paying the dues. They record the liens. The only way they're going to force collection is to do a notice for sale, and the master sits on his thumbs and does nothing. You know, they record the lien pursuant to the CC&Rs, which represents the amount. Doesn't that thwart the ability of the sub-associations to conduct their business?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think the sub-HOA has the right to foreclose the sale. What the outcome is that because it's equal priority, and that's the clear language of the statute, equal priority, not subordinate, not lesser priority, equal priority, it survives the foreclosure sale. So what happens in reality is the owner that buys the property at the sub-HOA foreclosure sale inherits that lien, and then it pays it off if it wants to avoid losing that property at another foreclosure sale. So the two can exist. The two HOAs can exist and both have the ability to foreclose on the lien that they hold because the statutes guarantee that. It's equal priority.
What if you're the associate?
Now, in that regard, I'm sorry, here in Las Vegas, in that regard, is that term ambiguous? Because it doesn't, it's unclear how equal priority liens interact when one lien holder forecloses on a lien.
With all due respect, Your Honor, I don't believe that it's ambiguous. I think equal priority means just what it says. I think it would maybe ambiguous if it said something to the effect of lesser priority, but it doesn't. It says equal priority. So I think that it survives, regardless of who forecloses first, whether it be the sub-HOA or the master HOA. They both, the foreclosing entity or the entity that didn't foreclose still survives.
If we were to take it as ambiguous, is there any legislative intent that's indicated as it pertains to that term?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think, and okay. I think it's because the language is so clear. Equal is equal. If the legislature wanted to make it so that one of the HOA's liens would have been foreclosed or would have been lost, they would have used the term subordinate, or they would have used the term less prior, or they would have put it somewhere else in the statute where it talks specifically about priority, but it says equal, and that's very clear. And in order for this court and the lower court to find that there was a likelihood of success on the merits, it would require the lower court and this court to redefine what equal means, and that's just not proper. The second prong. Oh, actually, before I get to the second prong, the trust also argued before the lower court that it somehow satisfied the Master's Homeowners Association lien when it purchased its interest in the property. And it has argued that the Southern Highlands Community Association should have gone after the excess proceeds, regardless of the fact there was no interpleader action in place. Now, that allegation is incorrect for several reasons. That position is incorrect. First of all, it's not alleged in the complaint. Second of all, the statute governing the distribution of the excess proceeds of a foreclosure sale is silent as to equal priority liens.
Well, but wait a minute. Before you credit that position, it seems to me it says after the sale, the person conducting the sale shall apply the proceeds in this order, and number three is satisfaction of the association's lien. I understand that the association's lien, you're reading that to signify the lien that has just been foreclosed. But why would that not, in a statutory scheme that specifies if you have multiple associations, each has a lien, and they are equal priority, why would that not be part of the distribution scheme? In other words, that the liability is that of the person conducting the sale, so that the proceeds should have gone to the extent of your client's lien to your client. It would be a cleaner proceeding and would seem to afford your client more protection if you take the hypothetical that the amount of the first lien being foreclosed is going to sap up all the value in the property, so you would be underwater. You'd be better off to get your money out of the list of proceeds. But when I read these, I don't understand why we should not credit a reading that says subparagraph 3, satisfaction of the association's lien applies to your client.
It's been our interpretation that if the legislator wanted to allow the proceeds to be distributed to all equal priority status holders, that it would have said that. It says the association's lien. And if you read it in in its entirety, it refers to the foreclosing entity's agent who is then distributing the money.
So you're conceding that a first deed of trust holder who is concededly junior to your client would get the money before your client out of the proceeds of a sale?
Out of the proceeds of the sale, yes, because equal priority isn't in there. How it plays out is equal priority means it survives. So it doesn't go away. It's not extinguished. It remains on the property, and it doesn't extinguish. It's not extinguished because it's not a junior holder.
And you base that on the fact it's singular, the association's
correct.
Lien.
Okay. Correct. It says the association's lien. It does not say the association's lien and all equal standing liens or equal.
Or the associations, liens. And put the apostrophe on the other side of the S would have captured this too.
I agree.
Okay.
Yes. Unfortunately, yes. So that is why that isn't an argument, that the Southern Highlands Community Association had to somehow actively seek out these funds, because there is no statutory authority to allow us to do that. With regard to the second prong, the irreparable harm if the sale is allowed and compensatory damages are insufficient if the sale proceeds. Now, this is, and it's been, I think, conceded, that this is a rental property that the plaintiff trust has brought. And when you look at the second prong, this court has said that it can look at the balance of hardships. And balancing those hardships weighs in favor of allowing the preliminary injunction to be struck down. What we have here is a proper Southern Highlands Community Association lien. It was trying to foreclose it, and it was enjoined. And while it's being enjoined, the trust is not paying off this lien and is getting income from this property that it owns. So the balance of interest certainly weighs in favor of the Southern Highlands Community Association.
Doesn't the Southern Highlands Master Association lien is a priority in that it's recorded before the deed of trust and the junior association or sub-association? So the amount is going to continue to accrue for the Master Association, regardless, as Justice Hardesty pointed out, on the original CC&R. So I don't understand that. I mean, if they're getting rental income, your association is still accruing their monthly dues, right?
Correct. It's accruing income, but they're not being paid.
Okay, but they have an ongoing lien, don't they, to the extent as they accrue?
There's an ongoing lien, and fees and costs are being added to it because the lien is, we're trying to enforce the lien, and we've been enjoined from it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
I need clarification there to what you just said. Are you attempting to enforce amounts accruing after the trust acquired the property, or just amounts before the trust acquired the property?
That's a good question, Your Honor. Initially,
there was
some time where the trust was not paying the HOA assessments after it acquired the property. Since then, it has tried to make some payments, or it has made some payments, and I think those figures are in the record before this court. But what is at issue, and the crux of the issue, is the lien and the assessments that were incurred by the prior owner, that it's our position that it was not extinguished by the sub-HOA's foreclosure sale.
But I'm just trying to clarify, some of the amounts sought in your complaint or in your current foreclosure include post-acquisition, post-purchase by the trust.
As of today, I am not sure. I believe that it's just the prior owner's assessment and that lien that has attached.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Bond, could you clarify that factual point, please?
Thank you. I'd be happy to. For the record, Michael Bone, hearing on behalf of respondent. San Florentine Avenue Trust. The only thing my client has on the record is a five-page motion for an injunction and a series of exhibits. So we have a very limited record here. What the record does show is when my client acquired the property, He immediately contacted the Master Association, paid the transfer fees to set up a new account, and paid a couple months in advance. And his business process is he pays all the HOA fees 6 months in advance. So the record here shows that from the date he acquired the property forward, he has been current with all association dues.
As far as happened here, and so as far as you're aware, the amounts at issue in this case are amounts that predate your client's acquisition of the property.
In part, the lien amount that was recorded, mind you, the day after the foreclosure sale. You know, and this court has ruled that the foreclosure sale is final and title transfers. When the gavel comes down, when you're the winning bidder and you hand over money, that's when title transfers.
Mr. Bell, can you clarify? I understood from the record the lien was of record when you did the foreclosure sale. Is that wrong? They didn't record it until after the sale was done?
The sale was conducted on the 25th of February, and the lien was recorded on the 26th of February.
Okay, so I'm mistaken when I interpreted the lien as being recorded pre-sale.
Well, counsel took the position that the lien was recorded. The lien was recorded before my client's foreclosure deed was recorded. So it was.
I see. It's in that window from the sale date to the recording of the deed.
It took a couple weeks to get done.
I see.
So, you know, my client has been current from the date he's acquired the property. And mind you, when the lien was recorded, it was only $956. The attorney's fees expended in this case far exceed that, and we're fighting over that nominal sum. Likewise, my client's affidavit shows that at the time, the monthly payments were $55, which means that there was over 17 months of HOA dues that were due before the Master Association decided to take any action. Now, what I think is also important to note is even though there is a lien that exists, in order to create a super priority lien, you have to take an action to enforce. And the action to enforce did not happen until the day after my client acquired the property. And that may or may not come into play in how you evaluate this case. I agree with the position of Justice Pickering that the statute does say that the lien of the association shall be paid from the excess proceeds. And that would be a very simple way for this court to resolve.
But did you do that? You didn't follow, your client didn't follow that. You didn't see to it that the trustee or whoever got the money paid the lien.
To the contrary, with all due respect, 116.31166 absolved my client of any obligation to see that the proceeds, how they are disposed of. It's not my client's obligation. It is the entity that conducts the sale that has to do that. And our position from day one has been, go get your money from the excess proceeds. And rather than even send a letter or attempt, they move forward with the foreclosure, and the lien balloons from $956 to over $3,500. It is at that time that we went to the district court to ask for an injunction. In addition to the monies that my client was
paying. So what do you say to her argument that statute speaks in the singular and the proceeds really are contemplating the way the statute structured, that it be the foreclosing HOA that the proceeds are distributed to in satisfaction?
The statute is unclear. And as I'm sure this court is aware, and every attorney throughout the state who's been litigating these HOA issues over the last three or so years, there's a lot in 116 that is ambiguous, and this is one of them.
So you contend the statute's ambiguous, at least on the distribution scheme piece?
It's unclear. Yes, I will concede that. And the way you can, I'd like to propose a couple reconciliations. You can just say, what does the word equal mean? It means they're both treated the same. So if you treat that language of the statute, the foreclosing HOA gets paid and the Master Association gets paid, period.
Mr. Bone, can I ask you a question? Here in Las Vegas, when this was presented to the district court, when Senate 14 was seeking a preliminary injunction, both NRS 116-3116 116-4 and 116-3, 116-4-3 were presented to the district court, and the court did not address that. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And made no determination in that regard. They simply granted the preliminary injunction.
The transcript from the record shows that the district court judge made a specific finding that there was a reasonable likelihood of success on the merits, and the transcript also shows that she found that there was irreparable harm could come if the injunction was not granted. As far as making a legal analysis of these statutes, that did not occur. That is correct.
Okay.
So one way to reconcile all this would be to say, yes, the statute, when it says the association lien gets paid, means everyone, because equal means equal and everybody gets the same. Mind you, we're only talking about $956. The lien from the association was almost 11. The lien from the sub-association did the foreclosure was about $11,000. My client bid $45,100. There's no question
that it's
more than sufficient.
To what extent does the amount of the lien mean anything with our decision today? I mean, are you saying that because it's such a low lien, it should be handled one way as opposed to something else?
I'm saying that a lot of the authorities talking about the super priority lien note that the HOA liens are for nominal sums, which can easily be taken care of. And that because these sums are nominal, this shouldn't be a problem. And no matter what the amount is, it should be taken care of the same. The JEB report, for example, it kind of differs from the Nevada statute. The JEB report, in one of their examples, says that when there's, and it doesn't have an example when there's a sub and a master association, just the association conducts the foreclosure lien, foreclosure sale, and there is a trust deed with a several $100,000 deed of trust on, or amount due. The JEB report says the foreclosing association gets 9 months, and then the rest of it goes to the mortgage holder, and if there's anything above that, then it goes to the non-priority portion of the lien. I think that conflicts with the Nevada statute that says the association lien gets paid, but it can be reconciled if both the sub and the master get paid their super priority, and then the rest would go to the mortgage.
On your reading, what if there's not enough? Would they prorate because they're equal?
The super priority amount would only be 9 months.
That's not my question. But say you have two equal priority liens. You want us to read this subparagraph 3 as the association's lien, meaning it would go to both associations, the one that's foreclosing and the other sub-association. But let's say there's not enough money. Would they split it equally, pro rata? How would that work?
That would be a fair and reasonable way to handle it, yes.
And if you're wrong, and if that statute is construed that the proceeds just go to the foreclosing HOA, the other lien endures of the other HOA, and they can go ahead and foreclose, then why would it not be incumbent on a person in your client's position to pay it off and then go back to the person who conducted the sale?
Statutory construction says you have to avoid absurd results. If you were to take the position of the appellant in this case, the sub-association would get paid.
Right.
Then the mortgage company would get paid. And if there were any excess proceeds, the former owner who created the mess by not making the payment would get paid their money before the equal association.
And are there any other instances in Nevada law of equal priority liens that you know of?
There is an absolute dearth of authority. The JEB report doesn't do it. Myself and other attorneys who have similar cases with similar clients have reviewed, and the UCIOA and other authorities are pretty much silent on how a situation like this is to be handled. And so I'm basically here today giving you suggestions about how you might want to handle this, because the law is not clear.
So, Mr. Bowen, you know, the numbers on this don't make a lot of sense to me, why we're here in the Supreme Court on it, because I think what we're talking about for the association is, do they lose the money from whatever the previous owner didn't pay from that date of default till the trustee's deed was recorded, whatever that sum is. And I know that master association dues, as you pointed out, are a lot smaller than the sub-association dues. So we got that amount of money versus, whether we split it. Again, it's not big dollars we're talking about here. Is the bulk of this case, is there's a lawsuit with the mortgage company then under SFR? Or where's the real case here? What are we talking about so we know how to approach this?
In the case before SFR, my client did file a quiet title action against Chase Bank. And then when the master association was making squeaking noise about foreclosing on their lien, that's when we amended the complaint to bring them into the case so we could get injunctive relief, not knowing I'd wind up here today. But getting to what happens to the lien, again, all the authorities say there's, the UCIOA, the uniform laws, give you a six-month priority. Nevada has expanded that to 9 months. The idea being you're going to do something between that 6 and 9 month period in order to protect your interest and, keep your money flowing. They waited again 17 months approximately. The number's not exactly there, but it was a lot more than the 9 months, number one. Number two, in order to have a super priority lien, you have to take an action. And at the time my client acquired the property on the date of the foreclosure sale, they had not taken that action.
But Southern Highlands, so they're not trying to get the property back. They just want their share of the money, right?
I understand.
And that's possibly in the hundreds of dollars. Certainly not, if it's in the thousands, it's not much. So that's what we're talking about here.
That's correct.
Okay.
But my point is they didn't take any action to create their own super priority lien.
Right.
And when you're talking about the distribution of proceeds, when you have a first mortgage holder, the super priority takes priority, and then the non-priority comes after the mortgage holder's lien. And so because they did not take any steps to create a super priority, they don't have anything, and they don't have a super priority lien, which is equal to my client, to the super priority lien of the sub-association. And so their lien would be junior or subordinate to the mortgage company, and they would have to wait until the mortgage company got their proceeds to see if there is anything excess. That is another way the court could look at this. Again, there are no hard answers on this issue. Myself and my colleagues have...
Well, the relationship of the super priority lien is not at issue in this case because we don't have in front of us the lender or whoever would have been closed out. What's at issue in this case is whether or not, as between the association, the equal priority allows for the full payment of those liens before you get title.
I do not disagree. Right. Chase is part of the...
There's nothing in 116, 316, 64.3, subparagraph 3, that characterizes the lien as super priority. It says the lien, right?
Correct.
So this discussion about when the super priority kicks in or doesn't, really in this case, is irrelevant. You're talking about practicalities, maybe, in terms of how the proceeds are distributed. But as between the purchaser from the sub-association and their relationship to the master association, the super priority is not significant.
Except to the extent as to the distribution of proceeds, because the statute says...
That doesn't involve you. As you point out, you're a buyer.
That's
you walk in, you pay your money, and you get to have something, whatever the something is.
I do not disagree with that. That's correct. But
but if you take subject to their lien, you're going to want recourse because you think that lien should have been satisfied from the proceeds. That's your fallback.
Correct. And again, the former owner...
Someone else's money at that point.
If you were to take the position of Southern Highlands, the former owner would have priority over Southern Highlands, which, again, I believe would be an absurd result.
I don't understand that.
Well, they're saying that they're not priority because they're equal, so the money would go to pay the association lien of the foreclosing entity, then to the mortgage holder, and if there's anything after that, then the former owner gets it under the statute.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Thank you.
I respectfully submit that's an absurd result. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vaughn. You have a minute and a half for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honors. Justice Hardy is correct. Hardesty is correct. The super priority issue is not at issue before this court. There's nothing in the statute, and I'm specifically referring to NRS 116.3116.
Your interpretation and application of this statute implicates the super priority question.
It may when it comes to the distribution of funds,
yeah.
But in terms of equal priority and whether it survives the foreclosure.
It takes us full circle to the point that Justice Pickering made. If we interpret the statute as requiring both associations to be paid from the proceeds, you never get to that super priority problem, do you?
No. Because, and as I indicated earlier, the statute is clear that it says the association's lien is satisfied with those proceeds, and that refers to the foreclosing association, not the association that's not foreclosing yet has equal priority. Additionally, I know counsel says that this leads to absurd results, and I think part of that absurdity is based on his incorrect interpretation or reading of the statute with regard to the proceeds of the sale and how those are distributed. Specifically, plaintiff or the trust believes that if in fact there's any money left over, that the prior owner gets it. And that's not what the statute says. It says remittance of any excess funds to the unit's owner. The unit's owner is now the trust, not the prior owner. And it uses the word remittance, which means a return of that money that they use, not here's a gift to the prior owner for not paying your association fees. So the clear wording of the statute, if you follow that clear wording, the Masters Homeowners Association was not extinguished, and it survived the foreclosure sale to the point where they have to pay.
You would interpret subparagraph 5 to say that when they write a check for $45,000 and they pay off 11 or whatever the figure was to the sub-association, that the excess money should come right back to them? That's how you interpret that?
That's what it says.
Really?
It says remittance of any excess to the unit's owner.
I think that...
And okay. So they can use that funds to pay the lien that's existing and equal.
All right. Thank you for your arguments today. The case will stand submitted. We appreciate